Father, we thank you. In the morning today, we thank you. In the afternoon, we shall thank you. In the evening, we shall praise you. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and praise. And also, we thank you as we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare today that our minds are open to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we are in the book of James. And as we said yesterday, it's going to be a deep dive Bible study, which means we take our time. We're not just reading through it just to say, oh, we've read the book of James. We're going to see what the Holy Spirit might say as we go through verse by verse. And it's okay to read ahead. In fact, I invite you to read ahead. And when you are prepared to give your contributions at the end of each lesson, you may use scriptures from other parts of the Bible as well. That's why it's called Bible study. You may even really use scriptures from later chapters of James because you read ahead, and so on and so forth. So I pray that it'll be interactive and everybody will be able to contribute. All right, today, Book of James, Part 2. Our topic today will be faith and wisdom, the right balance. That's right. Faith and wisdom, the right balance. Now, this is not a subject that is often shared in this light. As you know, I myself, faith is my favorite subject. And we've preached on faith every which way you can. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I've preached hundreds of sermons, probably even thousands on faith, any which way you want. You know, preached it left, right, up and down, any which way. We have preached on wisdom a bit, not quite as much. I do have one very, in-depth, deep dive study that I have done on the wisdom series, and I've taught it two or three times here and there. Well, I think at least once at the church, maybe a couple times here. It's really a good series, and some of you have not heard it. Maybe someday I'll come back, do it, or maybe I'll put it in writing someday. But you know, we don't speak too much all the time on the two subjects together. Well, we're going to do that today. And we pick up our lesson. Yesterday we did James chapter 1. And we read through verses 1 and 4 for that first lesson. Today we're going to continue from verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, wisdom about what? It doesn't say right here if you were just starting to read this book from this verse. But if you read it from the beginning, you'll see that in the previous couple of verses, he was talking about the trying of your faith. If we were to assume that there was some continuity in the writing, and perhaps the wisdom he's talking about here relates to that. However, whatever it might relate to, we are instructed in this verse to ask of God when we need wisdom. You know, perhaps when you need wisdom in the situation that you are going through? How should I handle? How should I do it? What should I do, Lord? I mean, we've talked in this room multiple times about asking the Holy Spirit for direction. Well, that's a, you know, that's a form of seeking wisdom, seeking guidance, and so on. You know, not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting with all our heart on the Lord, as it is written in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. So if you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give you, we're told here, you know, and he will not upbraid you. He's not going to chastise you, you know, because you are asking of wisdom and say, well, you should have known that. You know, some of us do that sometimes. You know, somebody asks you something, well, we chastise them first before we give it to them. Say, well, you should have known that. You know, but God doesn't do that. He will, you know, he will give you, we're told here, in this verse. But right after that, he says, but let him ask in faith. You're asking for wisdom, but you must ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's powerful. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So those are the three verses that today's lesson will be based on. Wisdom and faith. But I like to call it faith and wisdom. The right balance. And why do I put faith ahead of wisdom? Well, faith. Now, let me say this about faith. Faith, I was going to say this in the first lesson, but I said, well, you know, second one is coming, so let's just leave it. We'll say that. Faith is to your soul. This is the way I see it. Faith is to your soul what your heart is to your body. You know, the your soul and spirit, really. Your heart, you got to have that thing pumping. You keep that body alive. Well, you got to have faith working to keep soul and spirit alive. You know, if you don't, finished. The heart is, the heart stops. You know, that life is finished. Faith stops. That spiritual life is finished. You know, so faith comes first. In fact, here is the way that the scripture puts it in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter 11. Now, you know that this Hebrews chapter 11 is all about faith. But let's read what he said in verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, talking about God. This is the part I want to call out. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let's analyze that for just a bit. Unpack it, if you will. That means faith even precedes our knowledge of God. You know, it means, I mean, when you're seeking God, trying to find God, first you must believe that he already exists. I mean, that's really complex if you look at it. I mean, how can we believe, the scripture says, in someone in whom they have not heard? How can they hear except someone preaches to them in Romans chapter 10? You know, but, you know, and again, we know that according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you can't be saved except by faith. You know, so it's kind of like a complex wheel, W-H-E-E-L, within a wheel. I mean, it's like this thing is, one is inside the other is inside the other. But this 11:6 of Hebrews says, for you to come to God to get anything, first, you must already believe that he is there. Well, How can you believe you don't know anything about him? And when you are seeking God, it's because you're trying to know. And he's saying that you must have faith even to do that. Wow. So you can see that faith actually precedes. There is some measure of faith, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God deals to every man. I mean, we have this measure of faith, whether it's faith in God or faith in something. Everybody has faith. And we don't think about it, but we exercise faith on a daily basis. You know, so when you come out of your room, you know, and you walk down those stairs, you go downstairs, well, you don't think about it, but you're not thinking that the stairs will collapse underneath you. You just get on the staircase and walk downstairs. In a way that we were having faith that the stairs will hold up. You get down there, you go to the dining room, you pull out the chair, you sit on it. You don't even stop for 1 minute to think that the chair might, you know, collapse underneath you. You just pull out the chair and you sit. You know, and on. I mean, these are just practical, simple things that we do every day without thinking. And there's an element of faith and trust behind all of those things that we just do, you know, and just take for granted. It's even beyond taking for granted. We just don't even think about it. You know, I mean, you just assume that those things will work, you know. How many persons try to climb their staircase in their house and stop to think, well, will these stairs hold? Am I going to, you know, fall when I climb? I mean, the whole thing going to cave in and collapse. You just climb the stairs, whether you're going up or going down, you know. So, and these are things that we do all the time. I mean, there's a door in front of you. You're about to open the door. You're not stopping to think that as soon as you open the door, the hinges will come off and the door will fall on your head. You know, we just open the door. You know, and you can think of any example that you want. I mean, that's the way our life is. You know, it's all faith. There's faith there all the time. It's not necessarily faith in God, but faith in certain structures, faith in elements, faith in things around us. You know, people may not call it faith or may not see it as faith, but some exercise of faith. You know, faith is, you know, expecting that something will happen. You know, so, you know, every time we do that, we are kind of exercising faith. Now, when we are taught about salvation, our faith is also that, you know, something will happen. You know, that, you know, God will change our hearts, that we will become a new creature, and that we will have the hope of eternal life, and that we will receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, all of these things, you know, the simple message of the gospel is all about faith, meaning that something will happen. You will receive forgiveness of sins. It's faith. I mean, you know, if we don't have faith, none of those things will happen. But then people may say, well, what is faith then? I mean, well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing. Because in that text, he's making a powerful argument about how can people hear the gospel when there is no preacher? And how can people preach if they are not sent? And so on and so forth. He made a powerful argument. Anyway, so finally he said, look, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The more we hear the word of God, you know, the more our faith will increase. You can hear it in many ways. You can hear it audibly if somebody is teaching it to you, as we do on this platform daily. You can hear it as it's being read to you. You may have a Bible app. You may even hear it through the Spirit of God if you are reading it yourself. You know, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 gives us a powerful, very powerful insight into, you know, just reading and hearing the word of God. That's a blessing just for that. Revelation 1 and 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophet. So it puts it together. Whether you're reading it or you're hearing it, say you're blessed. Especially if you keep those things. Don't read it and then just read it. Well, read it, hear it, and keep those things that are written therein, because the time is at hand. So you see how it puts the reading and the hearing together. So, coming back to our lesson, I'm going to say that faith precedes wisdom. Because it says here, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith, which means you must have the faith to ask for the wisdom. So, from that I conclude that faith precedes wisdom. I've already concluded that faith even precedes the knowledge of the holy. Because, you know, he that comes to God must believe that God already exists. And you must also believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this, your search for the things of God, the knowledge of the holy, you know, that search is preceded by faith. First, you must believe that God exists. How do you do that? You know, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to grant faith to people through the preaching of the Word of God. You know, he's not going to, preaching or hearing or reading. You hear it, you read it, that's, you know, how it'll come. The Holy Spirit is at hand to grant it to anybody, that kind of faith. You may not understand all about God. I mean, think about it in your life. You know, try to remember your testimony of how you came to understand the gospel of Christ, the message of salvation, repentance, and all these things. Did you know all the things you knew now? I mean, did you know at that time all the things you know now? No. Somehow, you received faith. God granted you faith to believe that, well, one, you have to believe what you heard, that, look, all I've sinned, falling short of the glory of God. You have to believe that. Well, maybe you couldn't prove it, but you somehow believed it. A lot of things we could not prove, but somehow we believed it. You could not prove, you know, all the things that you heard about God initially. Some of them through experience, you've probably experienced them now, but at the beginning, you probably couldn't prove many of the things, but, you know, Holy Spirit granted you grace to believe. And then you believed that if you actually confess your sins, maybe somebody told you that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Maybe somebody used that scripture for you when they were trying to tell you about Christ. You know, I don't know what they told you, but somehow Holy Spirit granted you. Somebody might have said, look, you all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. If we say we haven't sinned, we're a liar, and, you know, make him a liar, and the word is not in us. All these things. 1 John chapter 1, you know, verses 8 to 10. Somebody may have said that. Somebody may have used Romans chapter 3 and 23, you know, to you, and also Romans chapter 6 and 23. Somebody may have used all these are scriptures that we use when we preach to people. But getting that person to even believe the scripture that you are preaching to them, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, you know. But unless they believe it, they can't be saved. You know, Jesus himself said, you know, in the book of when he was talking to the Jews, you know, he said, you know, there's a powerful statement that he made in the book of, John chapter 8 and verse 24. He said, look, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You know, I mean, that's powerful. He's trying to get them to believe who he is, but he said, if you don't believe, you will die in your sins. So we see that even faith to to start a relationship with God, the first thing is faith. Now, that faith can come by hearing, preaching, whatever way the Holy Spirit brings it to you. But all the other attributes that we're going to learn from God, you can't do it unless first you have faith. So you see how faith works. Even the wisdom that you are being asked here or instructed to ask of God in prayer, you are told that you must ask by faith. So you already have faith, then you ask for wisdom. Now, wisdom, you know, is something that we don't know about too much. But let's put it this way. You know, let's just use some natural, you know, ways to try to explain these two powerful concepts. Faith, you know, more than you probably know about wisdom, because we've preached that so many different ways. But consider faith as something, you know, some substance that, you know, drives you towards expectation and drives you to do something. Because it says, you know, Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, and, you know, of things not yet seen. So faith moves you into action, really. So sometimes faith might spur you on. So I'm trying to get into this balance now. Faith might spur you on into action. You know, I remember when I was a young man just coming into, you know, the gospel and the ministry and just coming into understanding of faith. Faith was there. It was just one of those things that the Lord imputed to me. And I didn't understand how it worked early on, but I just used it, you know, but, you know, it was intriguing. You know, the more I figured out that, wow, you can do these things, it was kind of intriguing. And, you know, the faith then was by faith, I just jumped into action. I jumped into many things. You know, I didn't always have wisdom back then when I was a young man. Did a lot of things, but the mercy of God covered me. You know, when I did some things, you know, by so-called faith, but it might have been even foolish. And sometimes, you know, bordered on foolhardiness because, you know, there was no wisdom behind it. And you say, well, it's faith. Well, yeah, maybe it is faith. You know, but today we're going to try to catch a balance. So faith will spur you on into action. You can just jump into something by faith. You just believe. Wisdom. But again, I am going to tell, we're going to talk about godly wisdom versus, you know, human or fleshly wisdom. We're talking about godly wisdom here. Godly wisdom will tell you, you know, to examine yourself, whether you are really in the faith. This thing that you say you are doing by faith, you know, examine to see whether it's really according to the word of God. That's wisdom. Wisdom is like Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Well, you know, prudence is an attribute of wisdom. It's one of the pillars of wisdom. You know, and it says, look, a prudent man will foresee the evil and hide himself. But a foolish pass on and they are destroyed. But, you know, somebody who just by faith jump out, they don't look, they may fall into some ditch. You know, but see, their faith, because they have faith, they will still come out of that ditch. But they have faith. God will pull them. See, you may be in the ditch right now. How you fell in, we don't know. Maybe somebody pushed you in, maybe you tripped. Well, maybe. But you find yourself in the ditch anyhow. And by faith, you know, you come out of that ditch. The psalmist said, look, I waited for the Lord in Psalm 40. I cried unto him. I waited patiently for him. The Lord heard me and pulled me out of a miry clay, even quicksand, pull you out of it. You know, you can't get out of quicksand very easily, especially when you're struggling. You will get deeper, sink deeper, harder to come out of there. But by faith, God will pull you out. No matter what situation you're in, you have the right kind of faith and you know how to align your actions with the word of God. Because, you know, faith with action is really believing. We're going to get to that in, you know, James chapter 2. And it talks about faith without works. That's without action. It's dead. You know, so when you put your faith towards action, I mean, with action, it's really believing. And, well, the action that you need to take, though, might be driven by wisdom. See, because, you know, you may not know the right thing to do. You know, if you are sinking and you are believing God to pull you out of the quicksand, you may not know that you don't need to. If you struggle, it'll get worse. You know, you don't know. You may not know that you need to be still for someone to pull you out. You know, so it's like somebody who's trying to swim and they're drowning and somebody jumps in there to try to help them. Well, if they don't have training, both the one that's trying to help the one drowning and the one that's drowning, both of them might experience some drowning because the one that is drowning is panicking and struggling and everything. It's not going to calm down and let the other help them, you know, and both of them might go down. But wisdom might teach them that, look, when you're in that situation, calm down and let the person help you. Wisdom might also teach the other person, if they are struggling like that, you can't help them. They will pull both you and them down. You better leave them alone. Otherwise, you're both going down. You know, action that you take might be driven by wisdom. Now, you have faith anyway. No matter how it is, faith will pull you out of that ditch. But if you used wisdom in the first place, you might not have fallen into that ditch. So that's a simple comparison. Faith will get you out of that mess, no matter what it is. Wisdom might have kept you from that mess in the first place. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that wisdom will keep you from everything, but it'll keep you from a lot of things. You know, he said, look, if you look, you will see the ditch. You will consider your ways. You know, even in the ways of the world, they say, look before you leap. You know, you're just going to leap forward. You don't know what's there. You know, you might just leap and land in a ditch. So the prudent, the wise man will consider his ways carefully before he takes that step. Well, the one that's using faith without wisdom, you know, might just jump out and do something. And they find out that they are in trouble because they didn't learn wisdom. It's kind of like people that say, I want to go into business. You want to go into business? A lot of people say, I want to go into business. They have faith that God will prosper them. Why? Absolutely. God will prosper you. But you don't learn the tricks of the trade. You don't take time to learn the mechanisms of this, you know, the industry that you're in. And all that stuff, you're just going to jump in. You're going to make shipwreck. That's just the way it is. You may have all that faith, but you don't use wisdom. You make shipwreck, you know, and so, but it's important for you to have the faith because if you don't have faith, you won't do anything. But if you have faith, you know, it's kind of like Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter said, well, if it is you, Lord, bid me come. And the Lord said, well, come. Jesus was on the water. You know, Peter was in the boat. And Peter is thinking, well, my goodness, the Lord is walking on water. I can do this. And Lord said, yeah, come, you can do it. See, you got to step out of that boat by faith. You know, but there's a lesson there in that particular story. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord too. You know, so, you know, when you step out by faith, you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Lesson there would have taught him, you know, many of the lessons that we teach, even though it's lessons of faith, it's really wisdom. Because anytime you are gaining knowledge, it's wisdom. Now, wisdom is not necessarily all about what you know right now only, but what you are willing to learn. Nebuchadnezzar said to, you know, his chamberlains and all the people that, you know, to audition, that was going to audition, select, you know, the people he wanted in the palace. And he said, look, check out all the, you know, children of the princes. You know, these people are princes already. But he said, look for those that have knowledge, understand science, you know, that can learn the language of the Chaldeans, you know, and so forth. You know, so, you know, it wasn't that they knew the language of the Chaldeans, but they had the capacity to learn quickly. He said, look for those kind of traits in those people. Now, so, you know, that's the kind of wisdom, you know, that he was looking for. He said, look, if they already had the quality, right? Because they were, it had no blemish. In fact, let me read it to you in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So you see, you know, they were royalty to start with, but unfortunately they found themselves in captivity. But they were royalty. Children in whom there was no blemish. That's a good characteristic, a good quality they were looking for. And well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning. Now, they had wisdom, but the wisdom, the length and breadth of their wisdom, it was not confined to what they knew only at the moment. They had capacity for learning. See, that's the greatest part of wisdom. Capacity to learn. You know, not just that you already know everything, but you have the capacity to learn. He said, look, they have the capacity to learn the language of the Chaldeans. They don't know it, but they have the capacity to learn. You know, so the person, you know, or persons that have this kind of capacity will learn a lot of things. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This is why this guy was so wise. You know, people said, well, the Lord gave him a heart that was wise, a wise heart. Yes. But part of that was the inside that package that God gave him was the capacity for him to seek out and learn wisdom, you know. And so it wasn't just what he knew instantly. It was God deposited capacity inside of him to learn more. And he said it right here. I gave my heart. This is the heart God gave him. To seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things. I mean, this man was all constantly learning, constantly looking for sources of more knowledge. You know, that was why at one time I said, look, all this learning can make you mad. He was always learning, you know, and he saw a lot of things that troubled him. You know, of course, his ways were not always right in the sight of the Lord. You know that, right? You know, he did not always walk in the realm of the glory of God and the beauty of holiness. So that's why he saw a lot of travail. He said, I gave my heart to learn. So that's the thing with wisdom. Now, let me give you another comparison, parallel. They're not opposite to each other. Some people say faith versus wisdom. Well, it's not so much versus. It's, you know, faith and wisdom complement each other. It's, you can't have one without the other. But let me give you, you know, another practical example. Take for someone who is in farming, for instance. You know, we have a lot of farmers. And farming is a large industry in this country. I mean, without it, nobody will really survive. Because you need all the food. Those of you who go to grocery stores to buy your groceries, you know, or have your groceries sent to you and so forth. We depend on these farmers. You know, maybe they're in the Midwest. Maybe they're here or there. They have their seasons. They have to learn how to, you know, preserve those things in between seasons and all the ship them, you know, by trucks to different places and so forth. I mean, all of it, all these food and stuff that we enjoy are based on the farming industry. Now, the farmer, you know, must have both wisdom and faith. Now, I'm talking about somebody who understands the ways of God. Wisdom will teach you that, look, you got to break up your fallow ground. When you acquire new land and you want to plant in it, well, you got to weed out, you got to break out the fallow ground. You got to weed it out, you know, you got to get rid of, you know, all the things that may offend in that land, that may hinder the growth of what you're about to plant. You got to fertilize the land somehow. I mean, they do all these things. That's wisdom. And they do all they need to do. They learn, they have to, you have to be trained to do it. If you're going to put in an irrigation system or whatever it is, there's some training to do that. You can't just do it if you don't know what you need to do. You know, for those of you who even have to try to plant something simple in your backyard, if you don't know, have the right training, that thing is going to die because you didn't know what to do. You didn't know how to wet the thing. You didn't know whether it only needs a little, you know, sprinkling of water or a lot of water. You do it wrongly or the thing's going to die because you didn't learn how to do it. But if somebody came in there and taught you, then all of a sudden you have a, you know, beautiful growth there, and maybe even a harvest, or maybe even a bountiful harvest. But somebody had to teach you. But anyway, so the farmer must use wisdom in cultivating and doing the right thing, knowing when to plant, when to go in there and weed out, when to do these things. He must wait for all these things. But see, he might do all of that by wisdom, but you also still need faith to believe for the early and the latter rain. The early rain is the planting rain. The latter rain is the harvesting rain. You got to believe. Now, sometimes in many places, they don't have enough rain, so they experience a drought. Everything dies. Sometimes the rain is too much. It's too flooding. Everything dies. You know, so if there is a scarcity of rain, the land is parched, everything dies. If the rain is over much, too much, everything dies. You know, they lose all the harvest. So you still got to believe God for just the right amount of rain. You know, sometimes the irrigation system is not enough. You know, a little rain always, I've noticed even in my house, I'm not a farmer or anything, but we have, you know, some plants here and there. You know, we can wet those plants day after day after day after day. Now, Arizona here is very dry, so you got to do a lot of those, you know, that. And, but one rain, one 15 or 20 minute rain, you know, in one day, and that thing will just blossom. Yet we can wet the thing for 3 weeks, you know, 15 minute rain. I mean, there's something in that rain that just wakes up those plants. There's something that God put in it. You know, so, well, you must use the wisdom to plant, to cultivate, to weed, to know when to do this and that and so on. You still need the faith to trust God for just the right amount of rain. So they walk together. Now, back to our lesson in James. When you are asking wisdom of God, it says you got to ask by faith. Now, I've already says that I've already shown us that our relationship with God must begin through faith in his existence. You know, that's the first thing. You got to believe that he is, then you come seeking him and he will reveal himself to you. But if you don't believe that he exists, you won't come to him anyway. You know, so faith precedes even the knowledge that comes about God through seeking God. first. You believe that he exists. So, well, how can I believe? I got to search it out first. Well, you'll never find him that way. First, you got to believe. You know, if you do not believe, well, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, well, you will die in your sins. Wow. Now that's a, you know, that is a, you know, a powerful declaration there. If people don't believe, he said, well, you know, then they're going to die in their sins. You know, so it is important for us to believe. Now, it is also important for us, you know, to search the Lord. I mean, search for things about God, to seek the Lord. But when you're seeking the Lord, you got to believe that he is going to reveal himself to you. Otherwise, well, you may seek, but you may find nothing. You know, why should we seek the Lord, you know, in vain? Well, you got to believe that the Lord said that we will not seek him in vain. You know, so your faith drives you towards God, even to find wisdom from him, you know. And you cannot find God without seeking him. But you also cannot find him just by seeking him, unless he has mercy on you. Let's read something in Job chapter 11 and verse 7. You see how these things are intertwined. In Job chapter 11, verse 7, it says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is Isaiah 7. What can you do? Yeah, I begin to tell all these things. Look, how can you find out God? Can you do it by searching? Well, you say, well, if you say no, well, then what about the scripture that says, seek ye the Lord while he is near and call upon him, you know, while, I mean, even Jesus himself said, you know, seek and you shall find, you know. And ask, you know, and it shall be received, you know, given unto you. You know, so if we don't, if we say, well, you can't by searching find out God, but you must still search. If you don't search, because Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. But you then say, well, and Job comes around and say, well, can't start by searching, find out God. Well, yeah, you can. But first, it takes faith. And two, it takes God. Because God, you know, scripture say, it, I mean, it takes the mercy of God to reveal himself. Jesus said it himself, said, look, no man can know who the Father or the Son, who the Father is or who the Son is and so on and so forth. You know, and to whomsoever he will reveal him. You can't know these things unless, you know, he chooses to reveal him. Let's read that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. This thing is written in another place in the book of Luke. Because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent. This is Matthew 11, 25. Thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. So it may seem good in God's sight to hide it from somebody and reveal it to somebody else. You know, that's up to him. You know, he says, all things I deliver unto me of my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father but the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. So, you know, if it pleases the Lord to reveal these things, you know, just like Saul said, well, I was a persecutor until it pleased the Lord to reveal his Son in me. If it pleases the Lord to do these things, well, praise the Lord. That's why we cannot boast, because it wasn't you that found him, even though you say, well, the Lord said, seek him. Yeah. Really, Jesus said, look, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. In fact, when he went around calling his disciples, they were minding their business. Some of them fishing and minding their nets and different things and so forth. And Jesus just came out there and said, follow me. That's how he did it. And they dropped, but they already knew who he was going to choose. Jesus knows how to pick them. The Holy Spirit, he knows how to pick them. That's right. And so he knew who he was going to pick, but, you know, all he said was, follow me. John chapter 15 and verse 16. John 15 and 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See? So we didn't choose the Lord. In fact, Psalm 65, verse 4 tells us that, you know, blessed is the man whom God chooses, you know, and causes to approach unto him. God is the one that does the choosing. God is the one that causes us to approach. And we may think we are the one doing it, but, you know, he's the one that's doing the choosing. Now, how does the Lord cause us to approach unto him? Well, he puts out the preaching of the gospel. Many are called, a few are chosen. People are called through the preaching of the gospel, but the choosing is before the world began. They were chosen in him before the world began. We're already chosen, but nobody knows who's chosen. You know, so, but by faith, we must all come. I gave this illustration a few times before. I said, look, the mystery of who is selected is all in the mind of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed this to me many years ago. I was a young man. I was thinking about these things. And the way Lord explained it is, it was through something I read, but that's how the Lord explained it. And you see a door, and on this, the door is closed. Nobody knows what's on the other side, but on the side that we all see, and all of us see only one side of this door, it says, whosoever will, let him enter in through this door. So there is a whosoever will on that door, you know? And so people pass by, they look at that door, and they say, some people may just stand and look for a bit. It's like a parable of the kingdom. As I said, well, the parable of the kingdom is like this, and he will show it to me in the spirit. And some people look at that door and just move on. You know, others will move on and say, well, no, let me go back and see, check it out. You know, all kinds of things happen. Well, eventually, some people walk up to that door. Now, the door only can take one person at a time. So, you know, somebody may even walk up and say, nah, they're almost there. And they say, nah, this is a waste of time. They walk away. Well, finally, somebody who's curious enough, or thought they were curious enough. You see, they didn't know how something draws them. They open that door and they walk in. As soon as they walk in, the door closes behind them. Can't do anything about it. Door's going to close automatically. And there is something in there that forces you to look back at the door. And then on the other side of the door, now that you're on the other side, what do you see on the door? You say, you have been chosen. That's right. Yeah, that's the way the Lord explained to me. On this side, he says, whosoever will, let him come in. And so that invitation is given to everybody. But the person that comes in, when they get in and they look back on the door, he says, you have been chosen to enter in. Huh. But nobody knew that he was chosen until he got there. And he himself didn't know. He thought, well, I'm just responding to some invitation. Maybe I won't respond. And they just walk away. Maybe they do respond. But see, that's how the mystery of God works. But God is the one that draws them through that invitation. You know, but they must have faith to go through that door. You know, and when they go through the door, well, they find out on the other side of the door that they have actually been chosen. And those of us that have come to Christ, we finally figured out that we have been chosen. And now we begin to understand more things. So, back to the parallel of the wisdom and faith. You know, I've already said that faith, you know, precedes even our learning. Because look, you know, can't start by searching, find out God yet. You must search. But God is the one that's going to reveal himself to us. You know, faith in God, our faith in the existence of God, will precede the in-depth knowledge that we find from God when we are seeking him. You know, you must first believe that he exists. You know, faith is also needed to even ask of wisdom from God. You know, I've talked about faith will spur you into action, but, you know, wisdom will caution you to look, you know, before you leap, and so on and so forth. Now, wisdom is justified of our children. And faith, I said, is the heart throb of the soul, kind of like your heart is the one that keeping your body alive. You know, now, it's not wisdom that will save you. It's faith. You know, we're saved by faith. But if you don't have wisdom, you're going to fall into many problems. That doesn't mean that you are not saved. You know, a lot of people are saved, or they may do foolish things and they get hurt, you know, but they are saved. You know, they're going to heaven. They believe in the Lord. You can't believe in the Lord except by faith, you know, and when we believe in the Lord, we know we're going to heaven and so forth. But if we don't have wisdom, we may suffer many things. You know, many, many things. And wisdom has many components. You know, I talked about Jesus himself talked about, you know, wisdom being justified of our children. That means, you know, those who walk in wisdom, you know, it bears out in their lives. So if you don't have wisdom, you're going to suffer many things. James chapter 7 verse 35 tells you, wisdom is justified of her children. Well, your actions, you know, if they are driven by wisdom, they will lead to life and stability. If your actions are driven by lack of wisdom or foolishness, well, you might suffer a lot of things, or even just being plain old naive. Sometimes, you know, a plain old naive person just goes on and they fall into the ditch. That's what Proverbs tells you. But somebody that is prudent will look carefully, you know. Now, we must have faith. That's why you have to strike the balance. You must have faith. If you don't use faith, or if you don't have faith, you're going to do nothing anyway. But when you have faith, you must also use wisdom. You know, wisdom, the wisdom of God is what's going to teach you where to put your money. If you don't have the wisdom, you put your money in a bag of holes. You know, we may suffer losses when we don't have wisdom. People who have not used wisdom suffer a lot of things. Cracks come into their lives. You know, I call them cracks in your relationships, on your job, on whatever, finances, this and that. Lack of wisdom leads to a lot of things. But when you lack wisdom, and if you find out you've suffered some losses through lack of wisdom, it's not the end of life. Come to God, but come by faith. You gotta come by faith. Because if you don't come by faith, this lesson that we're reading, these verses says, you are like a wind of the sea that's tossed to and fro. You know, that wind is not stable. And let not a man that thinks like that, or a woman, for that matter, you know, think they will obtain anything from the Lord. When you are like that, you are unstable in all your ways, he says. And now, a double-minded man. Well, maybe the Lord will heal me, maybe he won't. Well, you're not going to get anything from the Lord that way. You know, so, because you are double-minded. You know, you think he would do it, and then you think he was not going to do it. It's like a yo-yo effect. Well, God is not a yo-yo God. You know, in this same chapter 1 of James, you will see that when we get a little bit later in that chapter. But let me say this to us. We need to develop the habit of steadfastness. Steadfastness is taught throughout the scriptures. Every good and good gift and perfect gift is from above. If you skip down to verse 17, we're not there yet, but let's just skip ahead. And cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. You know, it's not up and down. It's not shadow or turning. I call the variableness the yo-yo effect. And I call the shadow of turning the mood swings. You know, one day you're feeling good, so I'm going to answer their prayers. Another day you're not feeling good, so I'm not going to answer their prayers. That's not God. You know, God is steadfast in all his ways. Jesus Christ the same. Hebrews 13 and 8. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Almighty who was, who is, and who is to come. It's the same. Always the same. Praise God. Now, for us, let me wrap up this lesson by saying what I wanted to bring out in this lesson is the benefit of both wisdom and faith. You can't have one without the other. We can't even start a relationship without faith. Relationship with God, that is, without faith. Because first you must believe that he is. You know, and then when you come to God for wisdom, well, you must also believe that he's going to give it to you. You know, if you don't, well, James is saying, don't even waste your time praying. If you are going to pray with a yo-yo mind, let not that mind think, that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. Maybe that's the reason we don't receive things of the Lord, because our mind is yo-yo. Jesus taught the same thing in Mark 11. You know, he began to teach them in verse 23 and so on. He said, look, you know, don't doubt in your heart. Say it. Believe it. Don't doubt it. Leave it alone. And he said, and you shall have the things that you say. But if you doubt, which means at one time you believed, then you doubted. Well, that's what Jesus said to Peter when he stepped out of the boat. You know, Matthew 14, he said, look, why did you doubt? You know, at first, he had faith. Because look, he said, look, if it is you, bid me come in the boat. Well, and Jesus said, well, come in the boat. I mean, bid me come in the water, sorry. And Jesus said, well, fine, come. And Peter had faith. And he stepped out of that water based on the word that the master spoke. See? And he came. But then he became yo-yo kind of person. He looked at Jesus. He looked at the wind. He looked at Jesus. He looked at the wind. The wind was boisterous the whole time. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't your stepping out of the faith, the boat that made the wind boisterous. The wind was like that. But when you kept your eyes on Jesus, you did not mind the wind. But when you started to look at the wind, it became a problem. You know, he started to sink. But thank God that he had his senses around him, you know, to even reach out and cry out to the Lord. And the Lord, you know, helped him. Listen to this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, you know, chapter 11 and verse 4. He that observeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, you're there. You say, well, and again, this is a comparison with faith and wisdom. You say, well, and this is a tricky lesson right here. So pay attention. Well, you want to go out in the field today and you want to go plow the field or go and sow. Well, it's cloudy and everything. You say, well, gee, it's, you know, the weather report or this and that. You're looking at the wind. You're not, you know, and say, look, the clouds are coming in. It's getting dark. So you're going to, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm not going anywhere. It's going to rain. So when you are observing the clouds, you will not go out and sow. And because you didn't go out and sow, you're not going to reap anything. But then at the same time, you know, you don't want to sow when the wind will come and blow everything away. You know, so there's got to be a balance. Now, if you are about to leave your house and it's raining already, it's pouring rain, and you want to go for a walk or you want to go somewhere and it's already raining, you know, you can do one of two things in this comparison of faith versus wisdom. You can say, well, I'm going to believe that this rain will stop. It's raining already. And I will not be wet. And it can go in the rain. Well, maybe if you believe enough, maybe the Lord will do it. Yeah. Or you can say, well, it's raining. I can wait until the rain stops, or I can take an umbrella with me. You know, so that's the balance. Now, somebody says, but see, if you're, you know, if you're about to step out and it hasn't started raining, and you say, well, I got to go do this thing. This rain might hinder me. Well, then you have, it's not raining yet. You have two choices. Well, multiple choices. One could be, well, you know, rain, hold your peace until I've done my business. Yeah, just like Joshua. Sun, stand over there. Moon, stand over there. I got to do some things. You can do that. And maybe the rain will obey you. And they just hold his peace. I've seen it many times. And then you do your thing. Or you can say, well, it's going to rain. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, that's the observing the wind and not doing anything. Or you can make that declaration. After you've made that declaration, you step out. And then you get one drop of rain. See, and then your mind says, see, I told you, you should have taken the umbrella. You know, so now you need to balance. Do I have faith when I've commanded that the rain should not, there should be no rain, and then I still take my umbrella? Because wisdom said, take my umbrella. Maybe at that time, it's not really faith. Maybe you didn't have faith. Because you've already spoken the word, then you should not take your umbrella if you believe that the word you spoke will come to pass. Now, if you don't have faith, then take your umbrella. Praise the Lord. It's like people who are sick. You know, if you are sick, God can heal you. If you don't have faith for that kind of healing, then you better go to the doctor. You know? And you know, I've seen people, unfortunately, that made shipwreck of their faith. And, you know, it's a very sad story, but in honor of the dead, I won't belabor it too much. But when they were sick, they did not seek help. They were trying to use their faith. And wisdom was teaching them to seek help, but they didn't. And they said, well, I'm going to use my faith, which is a good thing. I've heard stories of people that used their faith when they were sick. And they, you know, they just used their faith. And they stood with the word of God, and God healed them. So this is a delicate subject. But the other person that was using their faith, not getting healed and using their faith. But you say, how do you know they're not going to get healed? Maybe tomorrow I'll get healed. And so they're believing God. They're believing God. They're believing God. And they're getting worse and getting worse. They're believing God. They're believing God. They're getting worse. They're getting worse. And finally, it got so bad that they now had to rush to the hospital, emergency and so forth. By that time, it was too late. You know, and I say, well, if you're going to go to the hospital and go in the, when it's still, when you can still get help. Why wait until everything is almost ruined before you go to the hospital? If you are believing that you don't need to go to the hospital, that's good. You know, I'm with you 100%, and God will honor it. You know, but if it's not working, you better seek some help, because Jesus said, those that are sick, they are the ones that need a physician. Now, you are not sick if you are healed. So if you are healed, then you are not sick. But if you are not healed, then you are sick. You know, that's wisdom right there. So I will not tell anybody not to go to the doctor or not to seek help. You better do if you need help. Now, you may get healed without using that help or needing that help if you have faith. And the mercy of God sometimes overrules many things. Sometimes it's not just our faith, sometimes just the mercy of God. But sometimes too, you need wisdom. So people have made shipwreck of many things, some aspects of their life, because they didn't use wisdom. They tried to use faith only. Well, faith has to be balanced. You need to learn instruction from the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's okay to try things out, you know, when it's still small things. But don't play with major things in your life. You know, I used to tell my kids when they were little, and at least one of them comes to this room all the time. And I said, look, you need to learn from God, how God is speaking to you in little things. Don't wait until the biggest decision in your life before you learn how God is speaking to you, because you might make a mistake because you haven't learned his voice. So I need to get married. And that's a big decision in your life. Probably one of the biggest you're going to make. And that's the first time in the world that you're going to seek the voice of God in direction. Well, you're liable to make a mistake because you haven't learned his voice. But if you've been seeking the Lord every day, you go into your closet, you say, oh, Lord, what am I going to wear? Even though it seems silly, and even though it seems inconsequential, but you're learning his voice through those little things. I know you say, wear the yellow. You know, and you wear the yellow. You go down to the store, you say, well, you know, this and this, you just talk to the Holy Spirit. It's almost inconsequential, but you're learning the process. You're having your senses exercised to discern good and evil. It's becoming practice for you. You know his voice. And then finally, when you have to make the big decision, you already know his voice. If you wait until the big decision to know him for the first time, you're going to make a mistake because you don't know his voice. Samuel didn't know his voice. The Lord called him and ran to Eli several times. Eli had to train him. Gideon didn't know the voice of the Lord. When the angel spoke to him, he wasn't sure. He said, well, if it is you, well, let this and this happen. I'm going to put a piece of cotton wool on the ground. You know, if the cotton wool is wet and the ground is dry the following morning, we'll see. So and the Lord did it. And it was so. And say, oh, well, okay, so maybe the cotton wool soaked up all the water. So I'm going to put the fleece this time around. Let all the ground around it be wet. And let the ground be soaking wet all around it. And yet let this thing be dry. That seemed like a harder one than the first one. And then it was so. They finally said, ah, that must be the Lord. So he did some learning to know the voice of God. And then after that, we say, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel. Now they've learned the voice. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is, you know, when you are seeking wisdom from God, even though you need faith, you still have to practice, because you may not know the voice of God if you don't practice through the little things. So every day, let's make a practice of hearing from God in the little things. And even in the what we think is inconsequential, maybe not in the mind of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Lord already showed somebody that you're coming today wearing that yellow shirt. You know, and that's why the Lord said, tell you to wear it. You may say, well, what does it matter? I can wear white or blue. That's of no consequence. Perhaps not, but perhaps it is. But you learn the presence of God and learn his leading by wisdom. We ask God every little thing. You say, well, I can use my mind. I have the mind of Christ. Well, absolutely. If you develop the mind of Christ, then you have the mind of Christ. But it's still the Holy Spirit instructing you inside that mind. So in wrapping up, here is the bottom line to today's lesson. We need both faith and wisdom. Faith will spur you into action many times, but wisdom will tell you to look carefully before you leap. If you don't look, you may fall into the ditch. You will need a lot of faith to pull you out, but wisdom could have prevented you from falling into that ditch in the first place. Save yourself a lot of toil and fasting and praying and so forth by using wisdom in the first place. Sometimes people have to pray and fast a lot for some self-imposed falling into the ditch because they didn't use wisdom. They did not look, then they fell. And then they have to pray and pray and pray. And God will eventually pull you out, especially if you have faith. But save yourself a lot of trouble. Use wisdom in the first place. So that's the relationship between wisdom and faith. But you cannot go through this world without one or the other. You start out with faith because you must first believe that He is. But you need the wisdom of God. Christ is actually called the wisdom and power of God. You got to have both. But you can't have it without first believing that He is, that He exists. So it's like a wheel within a wheel. You know, a wheel is like, you don't know the beginning and you don't know the end. It's a circle. Well, which one comes first? Must I believe first that there is God? Or should God reveal Himself to me in order for me to believe? Well, we're told that you must believe first. But He was the one that would draw you unto Himself. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson on faith and wisdom. I spent a little more time leaning more towards wisdom because faith is something we talk about all the time. But if you do not ask steadfastly in faith, you won't receive anything from the Lord. And this scripture also suggests, this text that we read today suggests that real faith, it must be undaunted throughout these circumstances. Cannot go up and down. Cannot do yo-yo effect. If you let your faith waver, then it's not real faith. So let him ask without wavering. You use your faith and you must not waver. Stay right there with it. And see what the Lord would do for you. I'm going to pray over the room and yield to our discussions. You can see why we called it a deep dive. Just taking a couple of scriptures and talking about all these things. And you see why we call it a deep dive. So again, I encourage you to read ahead so you can, you know, contribute and participate meaningfully. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson in wisdom and faith, or faith and wisdom. And we need both, and we can't really have one without the other. And today, Lord, we've seen how they must walk together. Just like faith and patience, we read the other day, must walk together. Now we see that faith and wisdom must walk together, and we must strike the right balance. We pray for wisdom. Lord, you said, but let us ask in faith. We know we already have faith. Help us to use our faith in the right direction when we are asking wisdom from God, or anything for that matter. And as we ask, Lord, teach us to be steadfast, not undulating like a wave of the sea up and down. Not a yo-yo thing up and down, but steadfast in faith, unmovable, unshakable, because we're standing on the word of God. Now the Lord bless everyone with grace to have faith, or to use our faith in the right direction because we already have faith. The Lord grant us grace to find wisdom and to use it in the right direction. Lord, grant us faith in even in seeking the Lord, to know that if we seek Him, we will find Him, because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. Teach us the right balance in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.